If you'll notice, our subject is joy for today. And so lots of things we think give us joy. I remember back when I was in high school, 1 year my grandmother gave us an air hockey table for Christmas. And I thought, that's a pretty cool present. It was a big, gigantic box. We assembled it. It was my sister and I. And we decided we'd start playing air hockey. So we did. We played air hockey for a little while, for about an hour, which is an awful lot of air hockey to play. And then we kind of stopped playing with it. So it was the coolest gift I'd ever received for about an hour. And then it was like, this is kind of lame and not very much fun anymore. Except for one thing, the pucks were too light, and so you could hit them and they'd fly off. And so we would try and like hit, knock stuff off on the walls. But when it came to actually playing air hockey, it was like, that's not so fun after an hour playing this. Let's just play target practice. And so it just kind of sat in this room of our house until we throw a party or people came over. But besides that, this thing that gave us so much joy for an hour pretty quickly wasn't so cool anymore. So whenever my mom bought a new house, it ended up getting put out in her shed where it sat for about 5 years. And then whenever the Pflugerville Church bought their new building, we gave it to them. And so it just sat in the youth room, not getting much use, until it kind of, as far as I know, got thrown away. So this thing we thought was going to give us so much joy and we thought was so great turned out to be, didn't give us nearly as much joy as we thought it would. And a lot of times people ask this question, if you had $1 million, what would you do? What would you do if you had $1 million? And the idea is basically trying to figure out what would make you happy. What could you do that would make you happy? If you had all the resources you wanted, what would make you happy? And with that, there's actually was a guy in the Bible that did that. He had all the money he could ever want, all the power and resources, and he decided to do a little test to see what would make him happy. So it wasn't just a theoretical question, what would you do if you had $1 million? He had $1 million and he went, hey, let's see what happens. And his name was Solomon. He was the third king of Israel. He was the wisest man who ever lived. He wrote several books of the Bible. He was rich, he was good looking. It was like he was like a combination of Bill Gates, except with the good looks of, who's a good looking guy? You're a good looking guy? Okay, I'm gonna move on. Good looking guy, some celebrity so that Holly doesn't.
Brad Pitt,
okay, so he's got the looks of Brad Pitt, he's got the intelligence of Einstein, and he has Bill Gates' money. So he's got a pretty nice setup there. As nice of a setup as you can kind of expect. And he does this experiment to see what will make him happy. And so in Ecclesiastes 2, which is on the back of your handouts, which you don't have, in verse 1 he said, I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good things in life. And verse 8 he said, I had everything a man could desire. Anything I wanted I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. So right, we got the guy with all the money and all the power, and he says, I'm going to try and figure out what's going to make me happy. What's pleasurable? What is good in life? So you need to understand that setup. That's what's going on here. And he goes through a series of tests. And so the first one, he tries laughter. That is what laughter is. Very good. Let's give her a round of applause. There. One of you knows what laughter is when you get a round of applause for that. So he says in verse 2, so I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? So he tries laughter. So who's your favorite comedian?
Jeff Dunham.
Or who's an actor that's funny?
Jim Carrey.
Yes, Steve Carell.
Okay. All right, so imagine you wake up one day and you're just sitting there eating your breakfast. And you just kind of want, you know, I'd like somebody to, you know, make me laugh. And so you have Jim Carrey come in for you, and he's standing there doing something amusing in front of you while you eat your breakfast. Or who was yours? Lopez?
Eddie Murphy.
No, you don't want him to do his stand-up routine because it's wildly inappropriate. But anyway, someone that's not wildly inappropriate for your...
Steve Carell.
He just starts improvising and doing funny stuff. Who?
Don Knotts.
He walks in and starts being funny in front of you while you're eating your breakfast. So that's what Solomon did. He tried laughter. And he's like, okay, that's okay. What's the point of this? So he moves on. He says, try something else. And verse 3 says, after much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. So he decides to go the alcoholic method. So some people, their way of trying happiness, one of his was alcohol and drugs. He said, hey, you know, laughter was good, but I want something more. Tries alcohol. Yes, that's what people do with alcohol, yes.
Well, I thought they just drank it to drink it.
Some people do. Some people drink it to get drunk. So that's
smoking.
Most people don't smoke alcohol, but they do smoke some drugs. So, but same idea. It's the general idea, he just tries substances which will alter his perception of reality. So he goes with that one. And he goes, okay, that was okay. So he goes on to a third one. And he says in verse 9, I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. So it's this idea of pride or achievement. This idea that I'm going to be the best. I'm going to show everybody how great I am. So some people do that with sports. Maybe I'm going to be the star of the sports team. Maybe you'll try and get the best grades. You'll be trying to be the best looking. There's many different ways that that comes about where you're trying to achieve things. One of the sillier ways I've seen people do this in recent... Bobby, don't do that. Put it in your pocket. One of the sillier ways I've seen people do that recently is, I've been playing Call of Duty 4 in my spare time over Christmas break. And so I've been playing online with a bunch of people all the time. It's what I do, just 24 hours a day. I just sit there playing Call of Duty. And you play with people and you can put on a headset and talk to people. And people are just ridiculous. I mean, they're like taking pride in like, I am the best at killing people at video games ever. You guys are lame and stupid. I can't believe how bad you are at killing people at video games. I mean, like, people are like really getting worked up telling everybody how great they are playing video games. They take their pride in video games. And so many people, this comes out in different ways, but Solomon tried to be the best in Jerusalem. I guess that's a little bit more dignified than Call of Duty, but it's the same idea. I'm going to show everybody how great I am. I'm going to show everybody how smart I am. I'm going to show everybody how good I am at killing people at video games. I'm going to show everybody how pretty I am. Whatever it is, I'm going to show everybody how great I am. He tries that. He goes, not so much. He tries something else. Verse 4, I tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself. So it would be the idea of stuff. Look at what I've got. I've got this beautiful, beautiful home. I don't particularly enjoy these shows, but my wife enjoys these home decorating shows with flip the houses. Any of you guys watch those?
Yes.
I'm with you. I've seen it. Where they make over the houses. The only one of these I've seen that I thought was interesting was where they look to see, they'll say a price like $250,000, and they'll go to different locations to see what you can get for that. And so, like, in some places you'll get like a mansion with like an ivory pool outside, and you go to New York and you're like in a shack and in a crime-infested neighborhood where you'll die a week later. And so that one was pretty fascinating because it was like, show this place, like, this is $1 million suite in New York, and you're like, my house is better than this by a lot. This place is terrible and it cost $1 million. So those ones are interesting. But anyway, so these shows where people look at these houses and go, ooh, wow, I wish I could have that. Well, Solomon did that. He built as many houses as he wanted. He had as much stuff as he wanted and it looked great. And he saw it and he went, okay, that's nice. So another one, he goes with smarts. He's very wise. It says, my mind was still guiding me with wisdom. In verse 9, it says, in all ways, my wisdom stayed with me. So he's like, all right, I've got my smarts. I'm a smart guy. I'm very wise. But that's not quite making me happy either. So he tries nature. Next one on here. So in verse 4, it says, and by planting beautiful vineyards, I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reservoirs and collect water to irrigate my flourishing groves. I owned large herds and flocks, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. So much like Mr. Albers over here went out. Where did you go again?
Lost Pines.
Lost Pines. He did not have to go to Lost Pines. Solomon just built Lost Pines. He says, you know, I want to... I'd like to go camping, guys. Could you go plant some trees for me? And then they'd go plant some trees, and he'd go, okay, and he'd walk out of his backyard, and he's just in Lost Pines. And he said, well, you know, it'd be great if there was like the Grand Canyon was here. And then a bunch of slaves and workers would go out, and they would dig the Grand Canyon for him, and he'd just go out back and go, wow, the Grand Canyon. Look, I've got the Grand Canyon. And so whatever it was, he liked nature, and so nature was there. Whatever beautiful things he wanted, it appeared there. And he thought that was nice, but it's not quite working for me entirely. So it says in verse 8, I collected great sums of silver and gold, the treasure of many kings and provinces. That's one way of viewing things. So apparently he did too, so he collected lots and lots of money. So I imagine it was just like Scrooge McDuck, and he had a big vault filled with gold, and he'd go swimming in his gold often. And so he just, tons and tons, as much money as he wanted, he had it. And so was that enough for him? It doesn't look like it. Because wow, you're amazing at this. This is incredible. You know where I'm going. Why is this not moving on to the next slide? Entertainment. So it says in verse 8, I hired wonderful singers, both men and women. So who's somebody's favorite band?
Coldplay.
Chris Tomlin. Why is this not working?
Different music.
Name someone.
The Power Rangers song.
All right. So we got the Power Rangers song, Chris Tomlin, and Coldplay.
Spider Pig song.
Okay. So we got Spider Pig, Power Rangers song, Coldplay, Chris Tomlin, Veggie Tales. Which song? I need a specific song. Cheeseburger. I don't know what that means. We've got cheeseburger.
No, the cheeseburger song and Veggie Tales.
Oh, yeah.
Like the best one.
Yeah. Shh. I'm trying to learn about Veggie Tales, guys. What?
She had it on her phone as a ringtone for a really long time. It's like the greatest song ever.
Cheeseburger. Okay. So imagine you're sleeping, and all of a sudden, VeggieTales, the actual cartoon characters, start singing Cheeseburger in your living room. And the cartoon, the dudes that sing it, the squash is singing Hamburger in your bedroom, which is a little creepy. And then you move into the bathroom to brush your teeth, and Coldplay is in the bathtub singing a song for you. So you brush your teeth. You go downstairs into the living room. We're eating our breakfast while Jim Carrey is entertaining you. To the left of you, Chris Tomlin pops out and he busts into song. You go upstairs into your bedroom. You start putting on your clothes, and the Power Rangers are in the closet singing to you. And so, you jump in the car. I need somebody else.
Taylor Swift
is sitting in the back seat of the car singing you that love song.
Love Story.
Shh. It's not on the radio. Taylor Swift herself is there singing you Love Story. And so it's, that was your morning. Imagine that was your morning this morning.
And
then you came home. That's correct. That's number 8. Right? That's number 8, entertainment. So whatever music Solomon wanted, whether it was his Taylor Swift, his Power Rangers, his Veggie Tales, he had it there in person, primarily because they didn't have recordings at the time, so you had to have your musicians follow you around. But so that's what he had going for him. Nagastuan, this is one where it gets a little interesting. Number 9 on our test, which isn't working. Relationships. So it says in verse 8, that's because I flubbed it on your handout. I didn't do it as opposed to my actual paper here. Had many beautiful concubines. So those are like his girlfriends. But that's not all he had. And when he says many, this is actually what he means. This is in 1 Kings chapter 11. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines.
Children?
No,
the concubines are the girlfriends. 700 wives and 300 girlfriends. So you start doing the math, 365 days in a year, 1,000 women in your life, divide that up, it would take him about 3 years to spend just one day with each of his women. That's how hardcore he was a ladies' man in trying to hang out with the ladies. 1,000 women in his life. Think about that. So if you do the math, there's about 500 students here, Hutto Middle School, about 500 at Farley. So that's every single student, middle school student in the city of Hutto. That number of people, that is the number of wives he had. So if ever someone has hardcore gone after the ladies, it was our man Solomon in his search for happiness. Well, he has many hobbies, and that's part of the problem, and those hobbies don't seem to be doing the job. So the next one, the final one on our test, which isn't working. Jennifer, if you can try and fix this real fast, that would be great. Number 10, he tries work. I even found great pleasures in hard work, a reward for all my labors. So he says, okay, relationships didn't work, just collecting money didn't work, showing everybody how great I am didn't work, laughter didn't work, having Jim Carrey there even at breakfast, that didn't work. So he says, I'll just try working. I'm going to keep working and see if maybe this will make me happy. Doesn't happen. Does not work. You'd stick with the stuff and the money and you think that'd make you happy? Well, since he had it and it didn't work for him, it probably won't work for you. And so at the end of his little test, he summarizes his results. So in verse 11, right after all those different things he just listed, he says, "But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile at all. So I came to hate life after having all the money, 1,000 wives." Well, I guess if you had 1,000 wives that were always nagging you and causing you trouble, I could see perhaps... Oh, wait, that was a terrible thing to say. Going to get myself in trouble. I'm assuming he had bad wives, not a good wife like mine.
There you go.
See?
There you go.
See, I wasn't saying anything terrible there. So I came to hate life because everything done here under the sun is troubling, like his 1,000 wives or 700 wives. Everything is meaningless like chasing the wind. He repeats that. Everything is meaningless like chasing the wind.
I'm working on that one.
So anyway, that was his result. He had the money and the stuff and he didn't go, wow, I'm happy. He went, okay, I've tried everything. And it's all kind of meaningless. I mean, it was fun at the moment, but it did not last. And what's interesting is that as a nation, the United States had the interesting situation of basically being a little social experiment. If you know the Declaration of Independence, one of the sentences in the Declaration of Independence says that... we see these inalienable rights, life, liberty, and...
The pursuit of happiness.
The pursuit of... Very good. Very, yes. So our nation was founded on the idea of life and liberty. Those two are guaranteed. You're guaranteed life and liberty. Don't throw things. Woohoo! This is it right here. Can you tell me what this says right here, Bobby? Yeah. You can't even read it if you can blow it up as large as it gets and it gets gigantic. It's still unreadable. Probably because the treasure map on the other side is bleeding through. That was the other thing with Solomon. Since he had all this money, if he just said, like, I want a movie, he could just, what if I'd like a movie? What if there was a map on the inside the Statue of Liberty or something like that? He could have him make it. He just, why don't you get Steven Spielberg to direct it? And they'd do it. That's what's so great about being Solomon. And at the end of the day, he said it was all meaningless. Anyway, so back to our Declaration of Independence. So we say we have these unalienable rights, life, liberty, and we can't promise happiness, but we'll let you pursue it. And in fact, that's one of our three values, life, liberty, and you can pursue happiness. So with that, people have been pursuing happiness for the last 200 years. And you just look around at everywhere, it's attempts to help people improve their lives. For example, look at this little beauty right here. Where did my Sharpie go? I need that. Not to drive on the board because I'm going to be in trouble. But so at Men's Health, we're talking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Look at this. 759 ways to live the perfect life. 759 ways to live the perfect life. Does anybody know how many commandments are in the Old Testament?
10.
No, there's a lot more than 10.
1,005.
No, it's somewhere in the 300 range. Half of the number of commands in Men's Health magazine. Men's Health magazine has twice as many commands, and it's not just for a good life or to improve your life. They promise to have the perfect life. So our pursuit of happiness, this is what Men's Health came up, 759 things, and I haven't actually read this particular article, but if you read some of their other ones, I imagine what it looks like is they tell you how to get women, they tell you how to get money, and they tell you how to improve your body. That's pretty much what the entire magazine is about. And so that's their best attempt at trying to show you what the perfect light is. That's trying to help you with the pursue happiness. And it doesn't just end there. You can look at any, I brought a couple issues with me. Yeah, this is what I needed my Sharpie for. It's not working for me. Anyway, if you can fix that. Actually, no, wait. If you can get those pictures in there, that might be the other way. Anyway, so we've got our Men's Health magazine. So let's just take, for example, some of the things on here. We've got six-pack abs. Right there, six-pack abs. Why would anybody want six-pack abs? Why? Because it makes you look good. So it's pride on our little test. Things that Solomon tried, they're trying to get you to redo it to get six-pack abs. Next one, dress for more sex. Well, that's him trying to tell you how to pursue women in relationships. Other ones, gain more muscle, lose more pounds. That's back to our how to look good. Let's see, think smarter. So we're going with smarts, something else on our list. Build wealth. So it's telling you how to get money. What else is on here? Health scandals. Okay, those are actually something different. Just on the cover of this, we have, I think, was that four of the different tests that Solomon tried. One random issue. As I often read, since I have a subscription, I brought my copy of Complete Woman. I try and be in the know on things like this. Sorry. No, you're okay. That's what I need. I got it. So Complete Woman, my favorite magazine, probably the best magazine ever written, as far as I can tell. So Complete Woman, so this is telling you how to have that great and perfect life. Once again, so you'll be a complete woman, guys, how you can be a complete woman. So let's look at this once again. What do we have on here? Sex and love. So it's how to pursue relationships. Well, actually not relationships, just sex. But here's one, how I lost 83 pounds. Once again, the pride in achievement. Men Uncensored and Censored, How to Get Men. Happiness Makeover, look at that, just a test on how to be happy. There we go, More Things Pursuing Happiness. Here's Britney Spears' Secrets to Turning Your Life Around.
I would
say just, you're gonna, this one coming up in just a second, that's a good one. The Love Quiz, once again, pursuing relationships. New Year's sex resolutions, okay, more on women, and then the sexy mood quiz. Every single thing on here corresponds to one of Solomon's tests. You just, sexy single guys, the top two. There we go. Sorry, I missed something. There we go. Once again, every single thing on the cover of this magazine corresponds to something Solomon tried and declared meaningless. That's our culture. Like I said, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. People keep pursuing happiness, and sometimes people don't quite find it in religion, or they don't find it in culture, so they look to the spiritual side of things. So for example, if you'll read this right here, can someone read what this says right here? Seven spiritual lessons from Paris Hilton. You know you have run your life into the gutter if you are looking to Paris Hilton for her seven spiritual lessons. I don't know Paris Hilton, but everything she presents about herself publicly tells me I don't need to know her seven spiritual lessons, because that's not a good direction for anybody's life. But so some people, they'll turn to religion as their way to get to happiness. And it died on me once again. Anyway, I guess we can move on if we can't get that to work. If you can fix it very quickly. But so you just look at it, our magazines, this is what culture's telling us, all this stuff. Women's magazines telling us the same thing. People are looking to Paris Hilton to try and find happiness. Looking at Paris Hilton going, wow, that's a great life right there. If only I could look like Paris Hilton or have her seven spiritual secrets. And we got it. And here's the part that blows my mind completely. This is a copy of the New Testament. Basically, they just tried to jazz it up and they put a bunch of articles in the margins and things like this. So this is a complete New Testament for men. And look, this is a Bible, the New Testament. I have to really emphasize that. Let me show you what they advertise on the cover. Success with the opposite sex. Relationships. Improve your people skills and win. So winning would be your job and improvement. Let me show you how great I am. Learn to prosper without cutting corners. Once again, let me show you how great I am. Pride. It's an example of also, I guess, your work. Maintain top 10 lists for getting ahead. Once again, let me show you how great I am. Gadgets and gizmos. Stuff. And I think that's all of them. So this is a Bible, and on the Bible, to advertise it, to show you, oh, here, pick up this snazzy new Bible, they point to things on Solomon's little list that he said these things are meaningless. On a Bible. So we have to ask the question, what on earth is wrong, and why do we keep turning to all these things, and why isn't it satisfying people? And so after the next chapter, Solomon decides to give us his explanation. He's trying to come up with, what is the problem? Why did I trial that stuff and it failed? And this is what he says in Ecclesiastes 3:11. He says, verse 11, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He, speaking of God, has set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom when God has done from beginning to end. So that we have this problem, so we have eternity in our souls. And so how do you fill eternity? How long is eternity? Someone, anyone answer that for me?
Forever.
So how do you fill that?
Nope.
Yeah, right, exactly. You can't do it. You can buy as much stuff as you want. You could have 10,000 wives, and that's still not going to fill eternity. You can have not just 759 ways to perfect your life, you could have a billion ways to perfect your life, and it's not going to fill that gap inside your heart, because we have eternity set in man's heart. And so all the things we try, it's not going to be good enough. It's just like if you've ever, well, we just had Christmas less than 2 weeks ago, and I imagine some of you got some really cool stuff for Christmas, and it was amazing that day, and within a week, it's not quite so cool anymore. Just like I talked about that air hockey table, which was amazing at 8 a.m. that day we got it. By 9 a.m., it was not so cool anymore and just sat there. The way things just, they kind of fade away and they stop being interesting, that's the problem. And so that's why, because we have eternity set in our hearts. So that's our problem. So with that, what's the solution to that? Well, it's church, so the answer is pretty obvious. Instead of trying to find our delight in the things of this world, we need to find our delight in God. And the answer to that is simple, is why that is. In Colossians 1, it says, verse 16, all things were created by God, for God. All things were created by Him, for Him. We were created to connect with God. So as long as we're turning to creation, as long as we're turning to the things of this world, we'll never be satisfied. And as long as we're thinking that the things of this world are better than God, are better, we're always going to have that problem. And that's not to say you can't enjoy your Xbox. I have an Xbox. Like I said, I played Call of Duty an awful lot over the last 2 weeks. That's not the problem. It's not that looking good is a problem. It's not that getting good grades is a problem. It's not that having fun. It's not that enjoying nature. It's not that having money, any of those things are in and of themselves wrong. But if you're looking to those things to satisfy you, they'll always come short. The only answer is to turn to God and realize He is our ultimate source of satisfaction. And even in those things, when you're playing your Xbox, realizing, wow, this is fun, we serve a good God. Nature is beautiful because God made it that way. Laughter is fun and enjoyable because God made it that way. Even in those things, turn to God and see that God is the one that made those things good. And so, as we start this new year, as we have this next year, think through the things you're doing, and I challenge you to try and focus in on the fact that we serve a good God and that He wants a relationship with us, and that's the way we can have a life filled with joy. It's not in pursuing the things of this world, it's in pursuing God, in enjoying His creation, in realizing it's His creation. I don't know what time it is, but... All right, yeah, we have about 10 minutes for some discussion group questions. I'll pray and then we'll divide up. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us this time where we can learn from your word. Help us to focus this next year on seeking our joy in you and enjoying your creation, but realizing that it's your creation and not turning to it for our satisfaction, but turning to you. And help our times in discussion be fruitful. In your name we pray. Amen.